Okay, our next case for argument is Horton versus Jackson County Board, Mr. Pierce.
May I please record? My name is John Pierce and I represent Karen Brooks, proposed intervener in T.O. Horton v. Jackson County Board of County Commissioners et al. We have a pretty simple case here. All arguments are that the district court erred in denying Ms. Brooks' motion to intervene based on two facts. One, that the single filing rule should apply to this case, and that two, Ms. Brooks, even if the single filing rule does not apply, Ms. Brooks raised allegations in her EEOC charges and eventually proposed amended complaint that occurred within 200 days of the filing of her EEOC charge. As to the single filing rule, the court denied Ms. Brooks' motion to intervene on the basis that the facts were not similar enough to Ms. Horton's claims. Actually, the opposite is true. I mean, the retaliatory conduct against Ms. Brooks occurred within a month after it started for Ms. Horton.
But it didn't arrive out of the same facts. That's what I find troublesome about your position. I mean, what would be a clean case, I think, for single filing rule would be, suppose an employer adopted a rule that he was going to employ anybody who was older than 50, say. So a whole bunch of employees were fired. Some of them filed timely administrative complaints, some don't. So clearly, because all of the violations arise out of the same conduct, the employer knows, you know, there's a scope of the liability. But here, the firing of Brooks doesn't arise out of the same facts that led to the firing of Horton, but on the contrary, arises out of that firing. Not long afterwards, but the separate violations.
So it all had its genesis, though, in Ms. Horton's.
So that would be true in any retaliation case, right? So you're really saying the single filing rule excuses anybody who has a retaliation claim from filing a timely administrative claim.
When they're based upon...
They have to be based on the same facts, right? That is, if you retaliate against me because I complained that you fired Judge Bauer on account of race or something like that, then it means that my retaliation claim arises ultimately, not proximately, but ultimately from the discrimination against Judge Bowers. In every case, you're saying people complain about retaliation don't have to file an administrative complaint.
As long as somebody has filed a timely charge, I don't believe so. In this type of situation.
Right, so you're saying as long as the person is discriminated against files administrative complaint, anybody in the workforce who wants to argue that he or she is retaliated against for supporting this discriminate against worker doesn't have to file an administrative complaint.
Yes, right.
That's a considerable, I think that's a broadening of what the single filer rule has been understood to do.
Well, especially in a situation like this where it's the same people.
It's always going to be the same people, right?
Not necessarily. I suppose you could have a nexus at the very top of an organization that's sitting down.
Well, it's pretty unlikely. The people who support the discriminated against are going to generally be people working in the same part of the firm with the same supervisor. So the same supervisor is going to fire both people. And that's why I'm worried that you're creating you're advocating kind of per se rule that retaliators don't have to file their own administrative complaints.
I wouldn't necessarily advocate for a per se rule in this case, Your Honor, or in to cover all of these complaints. However, in this situation, we have a county commissioner who had control over a significant portion of both the community corrections when Ms. Horton was originally fired from, and then...
Would you describe how this works? I mean, who actually has the power to hire and fire or discharge?
According to Mr. Dowledge, Mr. Dowledge is the county commissioner in question. The county commissioners of Jackson County have the power to hire and fire. They have...
As a body or individually?
As a body. Well, we've alleged in this case that Mr. Dowledge went out and pressured those who were beneath him to fire her. We had some...
Well, there were three county commissioners?
Yes, sir.
And all three of them have to act, or at least the majority have to act, to do this?
If this was a situation where the board itself would make the decision, yes. All three of them would have to act.
Well, you're saying in practice that's not really what happened.
And as far as Ms. Horton's original termination, no. Now, as far as Ms. Horton and Ms. Brooks' termination in January of the next year, yes, it did happen that way.
At a public meeting, a vote is taken, or is this a personnel action?
There is a personnel action. I believe under Indiana law that they can take personnel actions outside of public meetings.
But the commissioners then have the ability to hire and fire with regard to employees in all three corrections or law enforcement
Yes, Your Honor, I assume there's an exception, there's not in the record, but I would assume that the Sheriff's Department would not be.
But Brooks and Horton were employed by different entities, weren't they?
Originally, yes. Actually, Ms. Brooks had hired Ms. Horton to work at the correction.
But Horton's complaint is that she was fired by the Juvenile Detention Center?
Horton's complaint originally is that she was fired from community corrections.
From community corrections, then she's hired by the center. But Brooks is working for the center. Horton, her complaint is about being fired from this other entity, this community corrections.
Her initial charge, however, also discusses that post community corrections center retaliation that was going on at the juvenile detention center. At the juvenile detention center, I believe there was an effort underway to terminate or get her terminated from her position there.
Was she terminated?
Yes, on the same day as Ms. Brooks.
So she's complaining about two terminations?
Yes.
Horton is complaining about two terminations?
Ms. Horton is complaining about two terminations, with first occurring in December 2000, I believe, the second one occurring, in December 1999, and the second one occurring in December 2000, or January of 2001.
But Brooks, of course, Brooks is complaining about retaliation for having opposed Horton's first discharge.
Yeah. She hired Ms. Horton to work at the...
No, I know that, but didn't you want to argue that she thought Horton had been improperly fired?
Almost certainly.
By community corrections.
Most certainly.
So she was being retaliated against for complaining about that termination.
In part. In part, she is also being retaliated against for hiring her at the juvenile detention center.
The afternoon protesting what happened in the earlier one.
I'm sorry?
The afternoon and protesting what happened in the earlier one. They hired her because the other one fired her properly. I think you're running into your time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Could you tell me just before you stand down, what size the community is this?
It's a small community in south central Indiana.
About what size?
About, I would guess, maybe 10,000.
You don't know how to count the people there, I can tell right now.
10,000, you might have been able to count
them. Yeah, thank you, Mr. Pierce. Ms. Harris?
Good morning, John. May it please the court, my name is Stacey Harris, and I represent the Jackson County Board of County Commissioners, the Jackson County Community Corrections Center, and the Jackson County Merit Board, and I'll refer to them collectively as Jackson County. I'm in the court below, Jackson County, opposing Ms. Brooks' motion to intervene.
Would you describe as well how this, the county commissioners are the ones that hire and fire, or what's the deal?
They have the power to hire and fire. They do not necessarily hire and fire everyone in the county.
But the merit board, how does the merit board come in?
The merit board, I believe, has actually been sued as a result of Ms. Horton's original complaint that she was fired from community corrections because earlier in 1997, she had filed and settled a lawsuit against the Jackson County Sheriff's Department. The merit board is actually related to the Sheriff's Department, and one of the things...
Sheriff's employees are merit employees.
Yes, yes. So that's almost a separate issue.
The commissioners can't fire them.
No, they cannot. The Board of Commissioners doesn't necessarily... Other people in the county can terminate employees below them. They don't have to approve every termination. But in this case, they were the ones that made the decision to terminate Karen Brooks and Tia Horton. Because at the time, Karen Brooks was in charge of the detention center, so there really wasn't anyone else over her than the commissioners. Jackson County opposed the motion to intervene because Karen Brooks failed to satisfy the required condition precedent of filing a timely EEOC charge before attempting to intervene in this lawsuit. She actually filed her charge 318 days after her termination. And we also argued that she could not satisfy the single filing rule because she could not show that her charges were sufficiently similar enough to Tia Horton's timely filed charges that were made in July of 2000. And with regards to the argument that post-termination retaliation that was within that 300-day window being allowed to intervene as to that, my understanding is that argument is waived because it was not raised in the trial court, so it's waived before this court. The standard of review here is abuse of discretion. What Ms. Brooks needs to show is that no reasonable person could agree with the district court's decision, and I don't believe that she can meet that burden. As I said, Ms. Brooks did not file her own EEOC charge within 300 days of her termination, and she did not satisfy the single filing rule because her claims are not similar enough to Ms. Horton's claims. And Ms. Horton is basically claiming in her timely charge that she was terminated from community corrections. That occurred 11 months prior to the termination.
But Mr. Pierce said she's also complaining about being fired by the juvenile center?
Yes, and that was raised in an untimely filed charge, which was filed at the same time as Ms. Brooks' untimely filed charge.
Oh, so you're saying Horton's second charge about the detention center is out of the case, was denied because it was untimely?
She was allowed to, actually, how this arose, she requested an ability to amend her complaint to include the detention center termination, and we did make the argument that was, because she had filed that charge untimely, she could not. However, the district court said, well, because she filed this other timely charge, she could go ahead and argue those things, because it was continuing retaliation. But my understanding is that's entirely separate from this.
So you're saying Brooks can only argue that she was retaliated against for supporting Horton's first discharge from the community corrections?
I'm saying Brooks can't be involved with this at all because she's filed an untimely charge.
But the single filer argument,
You're disagreeing with the district court with regard to letting them amend the complaint?
Yes, but we're not appealing that decision.
That wasn't part of it?
No, that's not part of this appeal.
So as far as is Brooks then complaining about that she was retaliated against for supporting Horton at both times, both when Horton was initially fired, then when she was fired the second time, or is she just complaining about being retaliated against for supporting Horton the first time?
My understanding is that Brooks is complaining that she was retaliated against for supporting Tia Horton when she was terminated from community corrections by hiring her to work the detention center, which occurred in...
So that would be one form of retaliation. She's retaliated against for hiring Brooks. But is she also complaining about being retaliated against for supporting Brooks when Brooks was fired the second time?
That's not clear from the motion to intervene. I can't tell you that. What I can tell you is here we're looking at two different types of conduct. We're looking at...
Weren't they fired on the same day?
Yes.
Well, she really couldn't. She couldn't be fired because she was mad about the young one being fired because she
right.
got fired at younger.
Right.
She didn't have the first one or nothing.
Right. Right. And I think the complaint is more about her being retaliated against for hiring her, but that had happened like 11 months prior to the termination. And we're looking at two separate types of conduct here. On one hand, Tia Horton is complaining.
There's an 11-month gap between Brooks' first firing and Horton's firing?
Horton was first
fired. I get them backwards. Okay, Horton is fired from the juvenile center, and you're saying it's 11 months later that Brooks is fired for having hired her?
No. Tia Horton was terminated from the community center in February of 2000. Then she is hired within the next 2 months to work at the detention center. She's hired by Karen Brooks. Then they are both terminated in January of 2001.
So the retaliation against Brooks occurs 11 months after the first discrimination against Horton.
Yes.
Yes. So it's that 11-month gap that was a factor in the district court's rejecting the single filing doctrine.
I think that the district court more or less just looked at the nature of the charges that are being made here. On one hand, Tia Horton is arguing, you terminated me because I have earlier in 1997 filed this lawsuit against the sheriff's department. On the other hand, Karen Brooks is arguing, you terminated me because I supported that person. And I think the court just looked at the root of those two things and said these are very different things, and that the purposes of the filing an EEOC charge in the first place, which is notice to an employer, as well as an ability to
report,
weren't met.
Were they both fired by the county commissioners?
Yes, and that when they were fired from the detention center, yes, they were fired.
How about the first firing?
No.
That was the supervisor that
correct.
Fired
Brooks?
Correct.
Horton in February 2000 was fired by someone else?
Yes. When she was working for the community corrections center, she was fired by her supervisor.
And is her argument that she was fired in February 2000 because of this 1997 complaint?
Yes.
So you're saying really that Horton's complaint so Horton's complaint is a retaliation complaint for conduct going back to 97, and Brooks' complaint is about being fired in 2001, is that the...
Yes, for championing reform.
Okay, thanks for straightening that.
We also argued to the district court that under Rule 24, which determines whether or not you can permissibly intervene within a case, that this was brought in an untimely fashion. The court didn't look at that because it had already determined that she hadn't met the single filing rule. But that argument was raised to the court because the actual termination of Brooks happened 6 months prior to even when court filed her initial lawsuit, and the two actually were represented by the same counsel. So our opinion is that if the single filing rule, we believe that the single filing rule applied, she could have actually brought her suit in July of 2001, July of 2001 when Horton first brought her suit, but instead we wait 18 months. By that time, the case has proceeded through deposition, through discovery, through a motion for summary judgment, and that's try to intervene 18 months later and 6 months past the due date for doing that in the case management plan, made the motion to intervene itself untimely, even if she had filed.
The first court situation was settled, right? The case was settled.
Yes, the 1997 case was settled. And just lastly, just to touch upon the waiver argument again, any allegation that post-termination retaliation within the 300-day window should have been allowed to intervene, as to that. That argument's been waived because it wasn't raised in the district court.
I'll ask you again, as I ask your co-counsel, or your opposing counsel, how large is this county?
I would say it's probably closer to around 15,000, between 10 and 15,000.
Very small.
Yes, it is a very small community.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Harris. Mr. Pierce, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
I'd like to touch very quickly on three things. First of all, Ms. Horton was, in fact, terminated from community corrections by her supervisor. We had a witness who states that he was there And prior to that, her supervisor was told by Gary Darledge, the county commissioner, to fire her. So we have Gary Darledge directly connected to the termination. The allegation Ms. Brooks makes is that she hired Ms. Horton a month later at the Jackson County Juvenile Detention Center. Almost immediately, Gary Darledge and others began pressuring her to fire Ms. Horton, threatening to terminate Ms. Brooks if she didn't, threatening to cut off the center's funding if she didn't fire Ms. Horton. And third, as to the issue of waiver, the issue of the time for the Ms. Horton's, I'm sorry, Ms. Brooks' post-termination conduct as in the EEOC charge, we are alleging that she was retaliated against post-termination. That is then contained in the initial briefing to the district court on footnote number 3. There was a remark regarding the reason behind the filing of the EEOC charge on
why the 18-month delay in intervening, if that's correct?
That's actually a fourth point I'd like to make. We had a witness come forward 1 month prior to filing the amended complaint and the motion to intervene. The witness, we believe, was at the scene of so-called many of the events that took place.
Well, that's not plausible because you said they started threatening her and badgering her and so on within a month after she hired Horton. So she clearly, if she believes, you know, she clearly had the evidence that she was a victim of retaliation long before the suit was filed.
We had her evidence, Your Honor, or her intent.
Well, that's all you usually have in these cases.
We did not have any really good evidence there until 1 month prior to the filing of the amended complaint and the motion to intervene.
Well, I think you'd have very good evidence. You'd have 10 months of badgering and then fired on the same day as Horton. So you need anything more than that.
As in many of these cases, most of this...
And you don't just wait for... If you have a potential claim, you don't wait for witnesses to come wandering in your door. You go investigate.
We did do investigation, and in most of these cases, the only people that were present for most of the conversations were the alleged retaliators and...
But that's true in most retaliation cases. This so-called witness, this witness who strode into your office, that was icing on the cake. Most retaliation plaintiffs don't have that. They just have the circumstances, the coincidence, the dates, and so on.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Pierce.
Thank you very much.
This case for argument is Roe versus United States, Mr. Stevens.